Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus said in reply, "The coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed. No one will announce, 'Look, here it is,' or 'Look, there it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. There will be those who will say to you, 'Look, there he is,' or 'Look, here he is.' Don't go off. Don't go running in pursuit. For just as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to another, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer greatly and be rejected by this generation." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. The Pharisees were looking for the eruption of God's kingdom as some type of noticeable spectacle. Would he come with trumpets? Thunder? How would it manifest to the occupying powers? And Jesus replied that the coming of the kingdom won't be able to be observed in that way. No one's going to be able to say, "It's over there, hustle for it." For behold, he says, "The kingdom of God is among you." That expression, "the kingdom of God is among you," can have several meanings, because the preposition that we translate "among" can also mean within, in the midst, both on the outside and on the inside. We can find at least a couple of meanings here. First is, the kingdom of God is among us because the King is among us. We're not going to have to look somewhere else for it, because Jesus was replying to the Pharisees, "You're looking at the kingdom. The kingdom is already here. Why are you asking when is it going to come? It's arrived." Second way the kingdom of God was among them already was because there had been people who had embraced it. They were already living in the kingdom. There's a couplet in the Our Father, just like in much Hebrew poetry, including the responsorial psalm we had today. And the couplet in the Our Father is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That God's kingdom is where those who are already doing his will, those who are already embracing, those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is there. Those who had converted and become like little children, trusting in Jesus, the kingdom of God was already there. We can even say a third meaning. The kingdom of God is within us. It's not something that we're going to look for necessarily on the outside. It's going to be something that we will look for in our own relationship with the King within. That God wants to give himself within us, so we don't have to be looking for all of these other big manifestations. What we need to get really good at is to see how the King is already abiding among and within us. That's the place that we're looking for the kingdom. Because if the kingdom has come, we will be forever changed, no matter what the external circumstances are. When the kingdom of God comes, the King reigns. His kingdom lives. And that's what's pointed to in today's first reading. The Book of Wisdom, when it gives all of these beautiful adjectives. And how fitting it was that Sister Amata, who is the predicate of all of, or the subject of all of these predicates, would have read it. But they're all first descriptive of the Lord, and then they're descriptive of someone who has allowed the Lord truly to become king. In wisdom is a spirit, intelligent. What does it mean to be intelligent? It means to have been lit up. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have an IQ of 160. It means that you're filled with God's light, that you're able to literally read within things and to ledgere. You're able to read within and see what? See God's fingerprints everywhere. Holy means cut off and weighty, that we're filled with God's presence, that it's not light. It's not light. God's significant, unique. There's nothing at all like it. No substitute possible. Manifold. Shows itself in a multiplicity of ways. Subtle. Again, not spectacular, not the thunder, not the lightning, not the earthquake, but the gentle whisper. Subtle. Agile. Comes in all types of different ways, precisely as is needed. It's not going to come in the predictable way. Clear. Meaning bright. It makes us clear. It's transparent. It changes us so that there's no guile. Unstained. That there's nothing mixed. There's no alloy there. It's pure, in other words. Certain. We're able to be incredibly confident. We're stable. We're secure. It grounds us. Not baneful. Not wasted at all. Loving the good. Not just doing the good. Not just avoiding the evil. Loving the good fills us with a real passion. Keen. You see incredible enthusiasm and eagerness. Unhampered. No obstacle can keep it down. When the obstacles come, you find a way to go over them, underneath them, around them to the left, around them to the right, or sometimes you learn how to drill straight through them. But it makes us creative in such a way that we don't look at the obstacles. We're living with the King who is the solution, and somehow he'll make it happen. Beneficent. It's not just benevolent, but beneficent. Not just looking and wishing for the good, but doing it kindly, does it in a way that's always respectful, that really cares about the good of the other. Firm. There's a strength there, unlike any other human strength. No matter how petite a person is, no matter how physically frail, person is strong, secure, not just at a personal level, but grounded in the Lord, who is our strength. Tranquil, this great order, this great peace, not a rush. All powerful, again, because the omnipotent King is within, all seeing. Even though a lot of times we're going to be looking in the clouds, it still sees everything because it sees God in everything, who is totally clairvoyant. Pervading all spirits, all of our various humors, all of our various passions and emotions, it permeates them all, this recognition of God. Goes on to describe that once this kingdom is among us and we're allowing the King to reign, we become more and more effusions of God's glory, refulgences of His light, spotless mirrors of his power. When it says spotless, it doesn't mean he's never having to clean us. He cleans us all the time, like somebody cleans a window, so that that refulgence can shine all the more. Renews everything, bringing us all back to the beginning, as constantly the kingdom does, bringing us back to that time when the kingdom erupted in our life in a way that the world never noticed. But on the most important thing that happened in our life and happened in the world on that day when we were baptized. If only we could ever look at every baptism that takes place as the thing that should be getting headlines in the New York Times that big. Passing into holy souls from age to age, this great gift of the kingdom. She produces friends of God, those who have this real intimacy with him, and then prophets, those who are able to actualize his kingdom by their words and by their witness throughout the world. She's fairer than the sun. Think about that. In a time in which there have been overcast skies or lots of rain, what it's like when that sun bursts forth and the sky is blue. God's telling us that this kingdom within is far more fair. She governs all things well, because the King who speaks in conscience is our governor. And as they said about him, omnia bene facit, he has done all things well. He does indeed do all things well. The kingdom of God, the King, has come. We don't have to look for solutions to whatever plagues us outside. He's already inside doing his work. And our main task in life is to collaborate. One of the most powerful passages that I have ever read was from the future Pope Benedict in a 2000 address on the new evangelization, when he spoke to the Jubilee of Catechists. He said, "The kingdom of God is God." And when we're in the kingdom, God is the decisive reality of my life. All my decisions are in him. He's the one who inspires me at every moment. It says that God, for someone living in his kingdom, is not a faraway architect like the deists believe, that he creates the world but he just lets it run on its own. That when we're living in the kingdom, God becomes the most decisive reality in my life. Everything is seen through him. Everything is founded in him. This is the kingdom. And that kingdom has come. And our cry, "Thy kingdom come," is for that kingdom to come more and more into every part of our life first, in which he doesn't reign. And then we can become that seed of the kingdom that he plants in the field to the world, that mustard seed that's going to grow, one person living in the kingdom at a time. And once this happens, then we live in the kingdom no matter what the external circumstances. We have this tranquility, this interior governance, this joy, this refulgence, no matter what's being thrown at us. And that's what we see today in the Feast of St. Josephat. St. Josephat was born in 1580. And in 1595, there was the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, which I'm sure you know from your study of church history, was the union, the reunion of the Church of the Metropolitan Church of Kiev with Rome after 441 years. They'd come back in, but against tremendous political opposition. And so he needed to suffer as he went around preaching the importance of this union against all of these political leaders. And those who were afraid for political reasons of this were threatening to kill him. He was made a bishop of Vitesse and then the archbishop of Polotsk. And he always basically had a contract on his head from the Orthodox who didn't want reunion. So they were threatening him. He said, "I am not afraid to die. I will willingly give my life for you and for union because this is for your good." And one day he did come home. It was on this day in the year 1623. He came home and he saw a whole bunch of henchmen trying to go after his servants. He said, "Leave my servants alone. If you've come here for me, I'm happy to speak with you." And as he was saying that, he was pierced by a bullet, and then they took a scabbard and drilled it through his brain. It might have seemed to the outside that when the mob was there, that it was the exact opposite of the kingdom. In one sense it was, because they absolutely were not living in the kingdom. But at the same time, you had that great courage, you had that great peace, you had that great self-giving charity reigning in the heart and in the life of St. Josaphat. We can think about the various challenges that we will have, but when the king is reigning within, we have nothing to be afraid of. You know, in that great encyclical, Spes Salvi, written almost 7 years ago now, Pope Benedict describes various martyrs, but one is Paul Labin, who was suffering in a communist prison camp, and he wrote a letter describing all his sufferings, but then he said, "But I am totally at peace because I know God is here with me." We have the strength that came from recognizing that even in the absence on the outside of everything that would evoke God, on the inside, God was still reigning. And he had it all. Today, as we come forward, the King himself is going to enter within us. We don't have to look for anything more. As we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we ask his grace so that his kingdom might erupt within us in such a way that, like with St. Josaphat, we might, without fear, go out and spread that kingdom of love, that kingdom of unity, that kingdom of God's real presence in the midst of a world that, like the Pharisees, continues to look elsewhere. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now.